at times it's becoming farcical. You have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form. This is not a Lions tour as we know
it. For the best Lions coverage this summer, subscribe to the OTB Rugby podcast stream on the OTB Sports app.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Against football, very happy to say we're joined by Johnny Doyle, Kildare stalwart for many a year, and Enda McGinley as well, All-Ireland winner with Tyrone and now the Antrim manager. Johnny, great to have you on.
Thanks very much. It's good to be on.
Enda McGinley, good to have you with us as well. So once again, the thrills and spills of Ulster football keep us all entertained. Tyrone against Monaghan, the Ulster final now set to take place. We're here in Atcrow Park on Saturday week at 4 o'clock, which will be novel. So yesterday we had Tyrone 23 points, Donegal 114, a 6-point win in the end for Tyrone. And then there was Armagh against Monaghan, 221 Armagh, 417 Monaghan, a 2-point win. Crazy game, and also a devastating backdrop to that game. The death of Brendan O'Duffy hung over the whole occasion, really. Monaghan under-20s captain killed in a car crash at 19 years of age after playing for his county against Donegal. So condolences there to all concerned. And there was, Enda, at full time and in the moments afterwards, that strange mix of jubilation because it was an extraordinary win and game, and yet also everybody cognizant of the bigger picture too.
Yeah, it was a really hard one for everybody watching it and around the game, because it in one way it was a game for the ages. The excitement of it, the topsy-turvy nature of it, the amount of goals, the quality of football, and yet you couldn't really enjoy or celebrate anything because of the absolute sickening loss of Brendan O'Duffy. And I think anybody just feels for their family, and you could see Seamus McEneaney was well affected. You could see a lot of the players were well affected, like there'd be a lot of clubmates involved there too, and just horrible on every level. But you would hope as the dust settles there will be a crumb of comfort and a good deal of pride within Monaghan in terms of the nature that they went about their business on Saturday.
I presume they had a say, Johnny, in the game going ahead, but it must have been very difficult for all concerned.
Oh, I can only imagine what it was like. It was really tough, and the circumstances around you know, the death of such a young player, someone that's just in the prime, starting out on their journey, inter-county journey. And I think it touches everybody, particularly everybody that's involved in GAA, because, you know, that young man is in every club in the country, that type of person that Brendan Ogg was. And, you know, we all hear of the fine, upstanding young man he was. And, you know, but I think that the GAA really comes to the fore in those situations. And, you know, you're just, it's a nightmare for his family, for his club, but everybody involved in Monaghan. And they do deserve a huge amount of credit. You know, in fairness to both sets of players, I think they went out and gave it everything they had. And you know, regardless of the result and you know, emotion, probably a lot of raw emotion there for the Monaghan players to go out and give it your all. And I'm sure his family and the fact that a lot of the players would have known of him and would have known him personally, it was a huge undertaking. I think they deserve massive, massive credit for the display they put on Saturday evening.
Well, again, condolences to his family. Can't even imagine what they're all going through. So to turn to the far less important matter of the game itself then, and how do you digest a game with 44 scores and 6 goals? You saw Armagh up close and personal, obviously, with Antrim earlier this year. For people who didn't see the game and want a sense of the story of it, Armagh conceded 4 goals and defending was not good, as you might imagine. They were 7 points down at half time. They fight back to not only level the game, but then take a 2-point lead. And then Monaghan kick 4 straight points to win the game ultimately by 1. Sorry, by 2, excuse me. So make sense of that for us.
Yeah, it was crazy, and it's even probably a wee bit worse than that, because it wasn't at the second half water break, there was still 7 points in it. You know, so it wasn't as if Armagh, as if Monaghan, which would be the classic situation to be, brilliant first half, lose their edge a wee bit at half time, and Armagh gradually get back at them. Monaghan came out really, really professional first quarter of the second half. Still at 7 points in it, quite easily were keeping Armagh at arm's length. And then the whole thing just went crazy then in the final quarter. Armagh were, at the start of the game, they were pushing up heavy on Began's kickouts, which seemed a risky manoeuvre because Began was able to go over the top of them, and they were open defensively. Armagh are in a fantastic attacking outfit, and they seem to be coming with the attitude of, well, look, whatever you score, we'll try and outscore you. But when your defence was as open and when Monaghan were as ruthless as they were, they shipped four goals inside 25 minutes, which is just unheard of almost in any level of football, never mind Ulster Senior Championship. But in fairness to them, they settled themselves at half-time. They got a foothold in the game. The key was they didn't fall further behind to Monaghan. Now, that might have been Monaghan not pushing on ahead and trying to kill them off in that third quarter. But for Armagh, they kept with them in the third quarter. And then after that, like, Rian O'Neill just became more and more prominent. They started bombing forward. They took a couple of great goals of their own. Showed great courage. Turbot's goal was amazing. Like, there was a high ball coming in from long distance. He went up for it, back to goal, left himself completely open as he had to try and make contact with the ball, knowing that Began, who is a huge man, was going to be careering out into them, and managed to get the goal. And then there was just this momentum. And again, that atmosphere, the crowd, it was so good to have it back, because with that crowd and with the atmosphere, that drove Armagh on too. But as is often the case, whenever a team leaves themselves with an awful lot to do, by the time they got level, and particularly in that heat, Armagh were gassed, and Monaghan had, again, the experience and the composure and the wiliness of Conor McManus. Like, let's be frank, he won his last two frees, or he created his two frees and won them, bought them, whatever way you want to describe it. But good gameplay by him. Slightly inexperienced, possibly, by Armagh to fall for it and to give the referee the choice. But the two frees, and in fairness to Manzi, he pinned them both with massive pressure for to get Armagh level and a point in front.
Johnny, you'd have a great feel for Kieran McGeaney, the manager. What do you think he's done and is doing with this Armagh team then?
Oh, well, look, he's done a lot of work, a lot of positive, and I know he'd be hurting. He'd be hurting today and was hurting yesterday, but certainly I think that, you know, he's built a team and is building a team, you know, over the last number of years, and it has probably been slower than what he would have liked, but certainly he has a crop of players now, I think, that you know, need to push to the next level, and you know, obviously you'd be talking to him up and down, and he's put huge faith in these young lads that he's bringing through, and he's invested a lot of time. You know, you look at the caliber of player that he has at his disposal. You know, the two O'Neills, Rory Grug, and you know, there's a few. Jarry O'Burns is only a young man. You know, we've yet to see the best of him. Ross McQuillan came on. Conor Turbitt came on and contributed handsomely as well. But it takes time. You know, and I know from Kieran and my time with Kieran, he's going to place a lot of emphasis on lads that really want this and. You know, invest all his energy and effort to try building that team. And you know, at the back, he's probably a little bit of work to do. And they got caught out badly. And you know, as Enda said, if you're giving away four goals in Ulster Championship and any Championship football, you're going to have a lot of work to do. And still, they put themselves in a position with only minutes to go that were 2 points ahead. But you know, when you've Conor McManus on the field, you know, you've always a chance. And my God, he stood up to the plate. When the pressure was on in the biggest moments, you want your big players and no bigger than Conor McManus. The two frees he kicked at the end were second to none. So I think Kieran is putting together a really strong team. I know, you know, he won't think that it's all about winning for him and for his team. But certainly, I think one or two players to come into that, and he's going in the right direction.
And if you'd said to Kieran McGeaney at the start of the match, you're going to score 221 today, he would have said, lovely. I'll take a deal. So based on your analysis, if there's an issue here where maybe things could have been adjusted, the beating of the Armagh press and then them being very exposed at the back, maybe they could have dropped deeper a bit earlier. That would be maybe in the analysis what might hit them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, sorry. And yeah, I think so. I think that they got caught out. You know, Jack McCarron played a pivotal role in two of those goals, and you know, obviously he would have been earmarked from the word goes as a big plus for Monaghan, and if you could keep him and McManus quiet, it would go a long way of beating them. But easier said than done. But also when Darren Hughes stole through, I mean, you know, he left a couple of Armagh players just for dead and ended up putting the ball in the back of it. So things like that will disappoint Armagh, definitely disappoint Kieran. And you know, you can't afford at the next, at the level they're playing at. When you're playing Ulster semi-finals and expecting to go on, you cannot be as porous at the back as they were. And you know, when you're shipping four goals in 25 minutes, you're in big bother.
Yeah, I actually asked the end of that question. Not for the first time, Doyle nips in and nicks
the ball. Apologies, Joe.
Just that bit sharper to the ball.
Sorry, Enda.
you're absolutely fine. No, it's funny what undone Armagh a wee bit was similar to what caused their failure against Donegal last year, where Donegal, with that big line of men that they have over the middle third, Armagh, they were able to complete a really effective high press on Armagh. And the whole evolution of kick-out tactics means that if you're going on a high press, particularly if you're against goalkeepers of the likes of Patton or Began that have these long, long-range kicks, you have to have quite early dominant in the middle third so that you can prevent it going long over the top, and then that completes your press and allows you to put really good pressure on the opposition. For Armagh, they don't naturally, and you can't just suddenly pull them out of thin air. They don't have that 6'3", 6'4" type of two or three player that they can put across the middle to really complete the press that they're trying to effect. And then the balance of their overall squad, they have huge attacking talent. Like, I don't think there's a team in Ulster that has the sheer amount of forward talent. Them, the younger lads that are coming through as well, it's attacking speed that is their skills. Defensively, they've ended up converting some forwards into defenders, and so they are that wee bit open defensively. In the league, they were quite compact defensively and working very much on a counter-attack. And I think they're trying to put more pressure up front, but that is leaving them open at the back, and it is that balance that they're trying to strike. But Armagh's whole progression under Kieran, like, usually you get a wee bit of a win in the seals and you might cheat two or three levels of progression just through sheer momentum. But every year for Armagh, it's as if they've been ready for the step up and just haven't got the rub of the green, and they've took 2 years to get that step up every time. But they've been making consistent progress, and yesterday will hurt. But again, they've shown they've got the forward power. I think they'll know the areas that they have to work, but it's getting a game plan that allows them to use the very strong strengths that they do have, and the experience will keep coming. But they're earning the progress the hard way.
Yeah. Yesterday then, Johnny, Tyrone 23 points, Donegal 114, so a 6-point win. Obviously, Michael Murphy getting the red card is a killer moment for Donegal. However, I would put it to you, this is a bigger issue for Donegal than just Murphy. They are a very frustrating team now. We've seen so much quality individually and at times as a team. They've really put brilliant passages of play together. But you take the Cavan defeat last year, Mayo the year before, really iffy, inconsistent performances this year. You kind of look at Donegal realistically now, you know, for a time talked about as potentially big challengers to Dublin, Johnny, and you think, are Donegal even going in the right direction, let alone being challengers for an All-Ireland? I think a lot of people have lost faith in this team at the moment now.
Yeah, I suppose results will probably point towards that. I think they have got a bit stale over, you know, as you point out, the inconsistency of them. And you know, Michael Murphy is a huge part of that. But Michael Murphy has an awful lot of miles on the clock too. He's gone to the well time and time again, and the body, you know, maybe isn't at the place he wants. We've seen the influence he had when he came on against Derry just to settle things when Donegal needed him and stepped up and kicked two big frees. And his presence alone is a massive plus. But you know, he can't go forever, and you know, losing him early on yesterday was a big dent to their blow. Obviously Neil McGee going off earlier. These are players that have huge mileage on the clock, have been the heart and soul of that Donegal team for the last 10 or 12 years. So, and maybe the quality of the next group are not there yet, and they probably do miss, you know, we see glimpses of it, Joe, you know, with Jamie Brennan and Niall O'Donnell at times. I thought this year was very good, Michael Langan, but we just don't see that consistency, and maybe that. The hard Donegal team that were really hard to break down in the past, you know, under Jim McGuinness, and we always go back to referencing them because he was successful with them, but they don't seem to be as hard to break down as they were, and that can be, you know, whether they're trying to play obviously a different brand of football, but you also don't have the clientele. I mean, putting 23 points past Donegal you know, 6 or 7 years ago, just wouldn't be expected. So I think they are on a little bit stalemate. They do have to find a couple of defenders, and they do have to maybe, you know, get a little bit more mobility around the middle. But certainly they have disappointed them, and I know Declan Bonner would be really disappointed with the way they bowed out. You know, particularly the last 2 years with Cavan and now Tyrone. So there's certainly a little bit of soul searching in Donegal over the winter months.
Yeah, I would think so, Enda. So many moments which in a microcosm just sum up Donegal, like on their own individually, they're not fatal. Like, for instance, there was a point Peter Hart got in the, I think it was second half, left-hand side of the pitch. Ball was played up to him and he was actually 1v2 Donegal defenders. And both Donegal defenders, miscommunication or otherwise, ran away from him to cover the other, thinking the other was going to him. And Peter Hart turned around and thought, oh, okay, I'll just pop this over the bar. And again, as an individual moment, it's nothing. But Donegal are just littered over the past 2 years with similar individual moments of just poor mistakes. And again, for all the talent, you just think it's not happening for this group. Something's not right.
Yeah, it's been frustrating because even back to last year, you look at the level of performance that they produced against Armagh, which was stunning, and then they went out and got turned over by Cavan inexplicably in the second half. This year, the level of performance they produced against Down was phenomenal, and then against Derry, they were frustrated by just a really good basic blanket defence approach by Derry, and then yesterday. Now, the one caveat I would put, and it's a massive caveat, Neil McGee and Michael Murphy are two totemic figures for Donegal, and to lose both of them in the half when the team itself is struggling for form is massive. But yes, I would agree with you. Yesterday, again, there was just wee mistakes. There was those errors in their play. Whenever Patrick McBrady was quiet, you really looked, and there was a lot of pressure on the likes of Niall O'Donnell and Michael Langan to try to carry them, because around that, they're just not getting the same attacking footprint from the back. They left one man Gallagher and a man marking job on Darren McCurry, which he's just not suited for. And when their best spell of the game was actually when they released him from that and he started doing the counter-attacking. But I think teams have sort of got to suss them out, and the critical thing that came against them yesterday, particularly in the heat and particularly because they were down to 14 men, was that the strength of their bench was significantly below what Tyrone were putting on, and that actually produced the difference, because Donegal were right in that game. To their credit, they were limping along, they were missing two massive figures, and yet they were still in that game with maybe 6-7 minutes to go, but they did run out of steam, and Tyrone's bench and the confidence that was starting to flow through Tyrone at that stage meant that Donegal had nothing to offer. And by the end, they did really look like a team that was out of answers, maybe even out of motivation. And I suppose after, I think, Bonner, that's maybe Bonner's fifth year. And speaking to Donegal people after the match, there's for the first time I've heard them in several years, there's a bit of despondency now about the team, just thinking, well, where is the team going from here? Because Murphy's not going to get any younger. And Neil McGee, like, you would hope not, because of the player that he has been for them. You would hope that isn't the end of the road for him, but it might be, and if it's not, it'd not be that much longer in the future. So they have to answer the questions of playing without them men anyway, and yesterday they didn't have.
Before we leave Ulster and Tyrone Monaghan then, Ulster final at Croke Park, which is going to be interesting on Saturday week, 4 o'clock throw-in is what we're hearing. What way is this going to go?
Yeah, it's going to be massive. Like, Monaghan will know that they've got plenty of work to do after the way they let Armagh back at them, but it was a final quarter and a bit of a freak comeback by Armagh, like the goals, the way they got them. Monaghan will be confident that they have much more positives than not coming out of Newry. They're a team on up. They are a nice balanced team in terms of their older players, and then they've got some serious pace now up in the forward line. Jack McCarron, like, a lot of the attention is on Conor McManus, but Jack McCarron, his role as a full forward is quite different. He has brilliant feet, so he can finish scores, but his creative level, like, he had a hand in most of them goals in the first half. He was just pulling all the strings. Hugely, hugely intelligent player with all the skills and a real unselfish streak in him, so he's massive. Tyrone are a team that, even as a Tyrone man, they are really starting to get a wee bit of excitement coming. the last 10 minutes yesterday against Donegal seemed to be a team as if they were thrown off the shackles and starting to feel confident. Like, you can't hide the skeletons that were caused by that defeat down in Killarney, and that will be there. But I think that has served to take away the airs and graces from the team, to really make them look very hard at themselves in the mirror, and that's not a comfortable place to be. But now they've come through two Ulster Championship games, they've got over Donegal that they haven't done in a wee while. Cathal McShee and Conor McKenna is now coming back with injuries behind them and look to be coming into good shape. They have more players finding form than I can remember in several years. Mm. So Tyrone is suddenly getting a confidence about them again, which is always something that Monaghan will be wary of. Monaghan don't have a brilliant record against Tyrone, particularly in Croke Park, ironically enough. So the balance of them things, to me, I would think it's a Tyrone that they'll really, really fancy themselves for that final. But look, Monaghan's going to be driven by a huge amount of emotion in that county. They are going to be coming with, as a team on mission, and it should be a cracking tie. Like, I think both teams will be playing, as we have seen in Ulster this year, and it's typical of Ulster, really open attacking football. And I think the Ulster final in Croker should be a brilliant occasion.
Oh, it should be great. I tell you what, for Puke football, you don't have a good championship sometimes, in fairness, the odd time.
Absolutely. And even with the rules, like we haven't discussed the black card, maybe the penalties and that again in Dublin too, which is a feature, but the black card against Michael Murphy yesterday, the penalty decisions, all of that, like the rules, I think, are still going to create controversies in this championship. You just wonder when so much else seems to be good about football at the moment. I think we've put in a few too many rules, and it's at risk of causing a major controversy at some stage.
Yeah, that's probably true. So, Johnny, we have a Leinster football final, Dublin against Kildare. That gets everybody in Kildare football sitting up a bit straighter, I think. So we'll get on to the Dubs in a second. Kildare 2-14, Westmeath 18 points, 2-point win for Kildare. Daniel Flynn set up a goal and then scored a brilliant goal of his own. His first start, I think, since against Cork in the league. So he was maybe the difference in some ways when the game was very much in the melting pot. But regardless, Kildare through to a Leinster final. Jack O'Connor, obviously people interested to see what Jack O'Connor might do with Kildare. He said, it's been a great year for Kildare football. We're back in Division 1. We're in a Leinster final. There's been progress. What are you seeing from Kildare this year?
Well, look, it's hard to argue with Jack in that regard. They are the facts of the matter. There has been progress. We're back in Division 1 and a Leinster final. What more can the man do? And he's unearthed and given experience to a lot of young guys over this league campaign and championship. All that being said, I'm taking off my loyal Kildare hat and analysing the game, I suppose, as best I can, as honest as I can. We're lucky to be going to a Leinster final. We'll take it, absolutely. We were often on the other end, but we did perform great and went home with our tails between our legs. But certainly Westmeath will be kicking themselves today. You know, we're very, very shy in front of goals in that second half. I think finished with 10 second half wides and some very, very scorable opportunities. And to finish, you know, being beaten by 2 points, they certainly will rule a lot of those chances. But Kildare, I suppose, from their point of view, there's a little bit of a stop start. While Daniel Flynn, I thought it's great to see him back. And, you know, he put a great ball across for Jimmy Hyland. Jimmy still had a good bit of work to do and to get that goal. And obviously he combined well again with Jimmy inside and finished his own goal very, very well. I thought he was rusty, which was it to be expected because, as you say, he hasn't played football since the first league game against Cork. And, you know, I thought at times, you know, that movement from him that we'd expect wasn't there. But he takes a lot of watching, and that's where he's really dangerous. Even though, you know, he mightn't be getting on the ball as much as we'd like, he attracts a lot of attention, which gives other lads a bit more room. But certainly, you know, I suppose the disappointing thing, and watching it yesterday and the team leaving the field, you had Owen Doyle limping off on crutches, Kevin Feely on crutches, Ryan Houlihan limping off the field as well. So they're going to be three big losses if they don't recover in time. You know, there's talks of Kevin Feely, a bad knee injury, and Owen Doyle with a bad hamstring injury, which he carried from the off the game. So, you know, Kildare are in a decent place. But we're sort of going into a Leinster final, maybe with looking between our fingers. Even though you get a little bit more confidence on Meade's second half performance, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but yeah, certainly it's an awful lot for Kildare to do to get over this and they'll have over this Dublin team, and they'll have to show a good bit of improvement. And you know, they're since the last league game with Meade, you know, came out very strong and just left Meade in the game. It took a Mark Donlan save at the end, you know, just only a kick of a ball between, for long periods against Offaly they did the same. You know, you felt just go on and win the game and finish with confidence, but they didn't. They left Offaly hanging in, and the same after scoring the two goals, you know, 6 points up, you think that let's drive for the line here, lads. And again, we struggled, gave away a lot of simple possession, left Westmeath hanging into the game, and you know, again, only a kick of a ball between them in the end. So that's a worry for Kildare, but certainly, listen, from a football point of view, you want to go, you want to play the best, and you know, regardless of what way it works, you want Kildare letting Dublin know they're coming for them.
And Johnny, for people who haven't seen much of Kildare, what kind of team are they? What kind of football does Jack O'Connor having them play?
Look, there's no secret. Jack, a bit like the Tyrone boys, Jack likes to move the ball quick. He wants to play a kicking game as much as possible. You know, but you have to play the game that's in front of you as well. You know, they did probably try to carry it a little bit too much. You know, yesterday for my line, but Westmeath had a sweeper in front of Daniel Flynn and Jimmy Hyland, which they would have felt, you know, would have been our scoring threat inside. But certainly, I would have liked to see them moving a little bit quicker. And you know, at times, particularly in the second half, I thought they went back, going lateral a bit and trying to keep ball. And a couple of times, you know, one space in the second half where David Hyland got stripped of the ball. And, you know, I think I'm not sure it could have been Larkin Dolan maybe just tapped it over the bar when there was, they had men over. You know, so things like that worry me about Kildare when they tend to just maybe slow down the pace and go a bit lateral. So while there is improvements and Jack definitely hasn't gone in the right direction, you're still a little bit uncertain about exactly where they were. Now, you know, in fairness, Crow Park was like a cauldron yesterday. You know, I would have thought like Kevin Flynn started the game on fire, but he dipped as well. But again, you know, the effort these players are putting in such conditions was tough. Neil Flynn had a massive game, and you know, got scored, got on the ball, sort of linked the defence and attacked very well. So yeah, I would think that this Kildare team are trying to play that open, you know, trying to move the ball, get it inside as quick as possible. But at times they do ponder on it a little bit, which is against Dublin might cause them a bit of trouble.
Well, it depends which Dublin show up, I guess. So this is maybe one of the more interesting stories in Gaelic football at the moment. Dublin 2-16, Meath 1-13, a 6-point win in the end. Desi Farrell, two halves chalk and cheese. First half very impressive, second half we didn't get to the pitch of it at all. So like in the first half, when Conor Callaghan scores his brilliant second goal, and it's just, you know, you're running out of superlatives for this guy, they are 2-7 to 4 points up, Dublin. They have a 9-point lead, it's business as usual, they look as good as ever. They have a 9-point lead at half time. Meath come out, Donald Keoghan gets a goal, Killian O'Sullivan scores great points. They're dominant, you would have to say, and they outscore Dublin in that second half 1-7 to 5 points. So by the 65th minute, Dublin have scored 2 points in that second half, and then you add that to the Wexford performance and obviously the names who have departed. There's definitely a sense that Dublin are more vulnerable than they have been at any stage over the last 6 years and counting, and yet I'm still not sure how vulnerable that is. What's going on here with Dublin? How worrying is this for Dublin fans at the moment?
I can't think that anybody with six All-Ireland medals can, or six All-Ireland titles in a row, can be overly worried about too much. Like, would the world really collapse if you didn't get the seventh? I'm hoping not. But
I realize they asked a question there where 31 counties are like, who cares?
Well, that's it.
How worried should we all be here, Enda?
Worried is a pretty relative term. Not least the global pandemic, but Dublin's quest for that crucial seventh All-Ireland title. So in terms of Dublin, like, Dublin in previous years has always given us hope, and we have made ourselves experts, are absolutely so talented at trying to find little nicks that give the rest of us hope in the Dublin armoury. Obviously, the changeover of management last year was a major thing, but Dublin went on and won it. They have lost various players over the years, and they have continued go on and win it. And this year, we are at risk of just playing the same game all over again. But there does appear to be a wee bit more evidence. The one thing I would say is that Dublin have traditionally went through Division 1, where they, a full Division 1 campaign, turned over maybe even a Division 1 on occasion, some really tight games, and they have to fight their way back. By the time they get into the Leinster Championship, they're at a higher state of shoot than maybe they are this year. So that's one thing that has given others fear. But I suppose the biggest thing, and it'll have been said before, the loss of the key men that have now walked away or departed the scene, the biggest impact of that isn't about the quality of the first 15. They've still a stunning first 15 there, but the most depressing thing for any team to try and take on Dublin was that you were always hoping 2, 3, 4 players might have an off day. That's always what an underdog needs to stand any chance. And Dublin just threw on the artillery of multiple All-Star winning players to replace them. Like in other years, they had Kevin McManaman, Bernard Brogan, Paul Flynn, Dermot Connolly, even Michael Darmacolley would be coming off the bench on occasion. And how often did they just sort of defeat the opposition or any sense of the opposition of any standing in the game at all when those type of men were coming on? Yesterday, the subs, Tom Lahiff, Sean Fugler, Colin Scale, Ian Murphy. So again, not just at the level, like very talented players, yes, but not with the same aura that those previous players have. And intercounty games are now 80-minute games, and nearly all the big games should come down to the finals for 15, 20 minutes. And so that is probably, if I was sitting in Kerry, Mayo, Galway, Tyrone, Monaghan, them type of teams, Kildare, obviously, if I was sitting in those dressing rooms, it's the thought that, right, if we go to we can get this game into the final 20 minutes, well, actually, we're going to be still there with these boys. They're not bringing on this sort of all-star cast game and to finish off our great efforts.
Maybe that is the hope, Johnny. You think of the All-Ireland final and Paul Mannion and Brian Howard come off the bench against Mayo. You just can't compete with that. So maybe that is the hope. Maybe that gives everybody a bit of encouragement. But it's also more than that, though. Like, you take the Wexford game and you take the second half yesterday before even they started making substitutions. We're just seeing Dublin show a sloppiness that they have made a point of not showing over the previous 6 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, you wouldn't be too critical of anybody, but even a sloppiness off the field, you know, and I know perception can be, but the issue with Stephen Cluxton is still not put to bed. You know, Desi come back out and saying that, you know, it's, the ball is in his court whenever he wants to come back, he's welcome. And, you know, and nobody is questioning what, you know, he'd go down as probably one of the, you know, greatest players ever to play the game. But the game is to be played now, and what we did before that, you know, I certainly as a player want to know, are you with us or you're not? Make up your mind fairly quick. It would be my, as a player, I'm not falling out with you, but, you know, put your colours to the mast very quick here now. You know, on more, your man that left the panel during the week, his name escapes me now at the moment. But again, you know, just doesn't look good from a Dublin point of view. Obviously, you have a bit of quality to come back. John Small and Owen Merchant obviously are two big players to come back into that side. But certainly, you do think that maybe Dublin is not as robust as they were. There's a little bit of a kink in their armour, and I think, you know, teams will feed off that. They will get a confidence off that. Look, and as Enda says, you just have to go through the team. There's some fantastic, you know, players, particularly in the forwards. I think, you know, when you're Paddy Small, Kieran Kenny, Dean Rock, Conor Callaghan, Conor Costello, like, these are fantastic players. But again, you have to, you'd be questioning, you know, how is James McCarthy continuing to go to the well time and time again? Does he say, you know, is the same hunger there? Michael Fassimons, Aidan Hall-Aarons, it's the same hunger. And maybe it is, I'm only surmising, but again, you know, there has to be toll on the body. And, you know, it's sometimes when things start to, maybe within the squad, start to dip a little bit, there's questions come into it and you know, maybe there's a little bit of frailty there. But look at it, we're going in to play them in the Leinster final, and as I say,
what do you think you'll win by, Johnny?
No, I really, God, Joe, I would love to tell you that we're going to win this one. It's going to be very, very tough for Kildare. No doubt about it. But again, regardless of, even before the weekend, I just felt Dublin were coming back into the pack. You have to give Meath a lot of credit too. I mean, they were under serious pressure going into that game, particularly Andy McEntee. You know, he had the fallout with the 20s. He was putting all his eggs in the one basket, and he had to come out. They had to come out with all guns blazing, and you know, they were 9 or 10 points down at one stage, and it looked like it was only a matter of time till Dublin hit 20 points ahead of them. But in fairness, to give them credit, it threw the kitchen sink at them in the second half, and it was some fantastic displays. I thought Matthew Costello's goal was really well taken. The two Wallaces chipped in, you know. So I think me definitely put them under pressure. But look, I still think they'll be Leinster champions. But beyond that, I would think I'd be a bit reluctant to give them the favourites tag just yet.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was Eric Lowndes, by the way, who stepped away during the week. So that's another 7 All-Irelands worth of experience you lose. And I got to wrap up, so brief as you can. For all our talk here, who are your favourites for the All-Ireland?
I think Kerry, I would go with now. Like Dublin, I think Dublin are still, it is going to take a mammoth performance to try to defeat that Dublin team. But Kerry are by far and away the best team that they are going to come up against over the past 7 years. Like, I think that Kerry team, as long as they remain tight defensively, they have got the quality up front to do the damage and take the clutch scores. So for me, the first time from Mayo really, really been in their pump, I think we're looking at a team that looks hungry, driven, got the big kick in the teeth last year with the Cork defeat, and they seem a team on a mission now. Whether they can hold that together, I don't know, and it will take something special to get over the line against Dublin, but until a team is willing to do that, Dublin are remaining there. But for me, I don't know whether it's hope or not, but I'm thinking Kerry might be favourites at the minute.
Okay, interesting stuff. It's been a slow start to the Football Championship, but I think we're coming to the boil nicely. Johnny Doyle, great to have you with us. Enda McGinley, thank you as well. Cheers, fellas. GAA on Off the Ball.